Renegade Broadcasting, hard-hitting talk radio.
Greetings and good evening. This is Sinead, and you're listening to Fired Up. I just wanted to let everyone know that I am not a robotic kike. Okay, I can't talk like that anymore. It's just very weird. Some of you might get that joke, some of you might not. Okay, so for tonight's show, somebody had mentioned in the comment section that they don't understand how this blood type diet could be bullshit. And I said, you know what? I'll tell you how it's bullshit. So just at face value, it seems like one of these fad things, right? Like keto, eat this, eat that, paleo, primal, blood type diet. There might be something to it, and we'll investigate this here, but largely it's bullshit, okay? We all are designed pretty much the same way. We have the same length of digestive tract. Our teeth are for, you know, chewing plants. Clearly, we don't have huge fangs. We don't have claws. So I think it's one of these things that's just meant to complicate the whole thing, when really there's a diet that humans are designed to eat, just as there's a diet that cats are designed to eat. And by the way, cats can get clogged arteries and heart disease. When they start, like in the wild, when they start eating more fatty animals that, you know, say maybe a cow or something like this, and they don't go for the wild game like elk and deer and all that. I don't think there's deer in the jungle, but whatever. Those kinds of animals, when they're not eating those, they actually can develop hypertension. So it just shows you that even a carnivorous animal, you know, needs to eat certain types of meat or they will get heart disease. Now, what is the leading killer in this country? Heart disease. Now, do you think that that was caused by people eating too many plants? Do you think that was the evil gluten that did that to them? Or do you think it's the copious amounts of animal fats that they're shoveling into their gullets every single day and not thinking anything of it? And now it's being touted as healthy and wonderful, and you should just eat butter and you should eat raw liver. You should drink animal blood. It's super good for you. And if you don't want to do these things, you're basically like that Greta fetal alcohol syndrome girl who, you know, like hates humans and wants to kill them all. Honestly, I haven't really followed this Greta thing because it's just a psyop anyways, and it's being used to paint people like Kyle and I, you know, and I'm not saying this is a psyop directed at us, but people like our listeners here that care about the well-being of our earth, of animals, want to end suffering not only for animals, but for humans as well. Because through our enslavement with animals, we enslave ourselves and we get very, very sick. So it's not good. But just wanted to read a few things here that will go through, you know, this blood type diet and explain why it is not actually accurate. And it's another one of these fad things like South Beach, or now it seems like the Blue Zone is even its own thing now, which is just ridiculous. I should have looked into it more, but I just assumed that, well, they eat, you know, pretty much plant-based, but now they still recommend, I guess, 20% of animal foods, which is stupid to me. You know, if you're going to be eating, you want to live long, why have 20% poison? It's not very logical. So here we go. Dr. Peter Adamo's book, Eat Right for Your Type, makes the astounding claim that people with different blood types should eat different foods. Type O's, for example, are supposed to be like the hunter and eat a lot of meat, whereas type A's are supposed to eat less. A 2013 systematic review of the evidence supporting blood type diets was published in one of the world's most prestigious nutrition journals. The researchers didn't find any. The researchers sifted through over 1,000 papers that might shed light on the issue, and none of the studies showed an association between blood type diets and health-related outcomes. They concluded that there is currently no evidence that an adherence to blood type diets will provide health benefits, despite the substantial presence and perseverance of blood type diets within the health industry. 10 years earlier, the Journal of Norwegian Medical Association released a number of papers that came out of a day-long scientific seminar held by the Norwegian Society for Nutrition. 40,000 copies of Eat Right for Your Type had been sold in Norway, and so the researchers sought to determine whether blood type diets were visionary science or nonsense. They also concluded that they are nonsense. The author of the Blood Type Diet book responded to the review on his website, saying that there is good science behind the Blood Type Diet, just like there was good science behind Einstein's mathematical calculations. He says that if blood type diets were tested in the right way, like Einstein's E equals MC squared, he would be vindicated. The reason we don't see any studies on blood type and nutrition, he complains, is because of little interest and available money. But he's sold more than 7 million books. Why doesn't he fund his own studies? That's what the Atkins Corporation did. In fact, he has. In 1996, he wrote, "I am beginning the eighth year of a 10-year trial on reproductive cancers using the blood type diet. By the time I release the results in another 2 years, I expect to make it scientifically demonstrable that the blood type diet plays a role in cancer remission." Okay, so that would be 1998. The results? Still not released 16 years later. So I'm sure he's just working really hard on it. And, you know, he's going to come out with that paper soon. And the results, he's going to say, look at this. Look at this paper. It cured everything. But no, that's not going to happen. And people don't even need to see the science because it's giving them good news about their bad habits. Oh, you mean those vegans that are trying to shame me for being a psychopath eating animals that have suffered needlessly and eating, you know, dead flesh and chicken periods and milk that's meant for a cow. I guess, you know, I can go ahead and do those things now because this blood type diet says it's cool. And those vegans that are trying to shame me, oh, they're so dumb. Oh my God. Okay. As my Norwegian colleague bemoaned, it is difficult not to perceive the whole thing as a crass fraud. So rarely are popular press diet books afforded such fact-checking. Kudos to these researchers. If only we had this 13 years ago when the book was on the bestseller list. Okay, let's see here. So, you know, I probably should have prefaced this with what the blood type diet is, so I'll go through it for you guys, okay? So Dr. De Adamo lays out four different diets, one for each of the blood types. So there are four blood types and therefore four diets recommended in the book. So type A, the agrarian or cultivator. God, this is already just such bullshit. It reminds me of like horoscopes, which I used to read the wrong one to my friends and they'd be like, oh my God, that's me. I'd be like, yeah, no, it's actually Virgo, but you know, cool. Keep believing this nonsense. I'm sure there's something to astrology, but to me, it just seems like a bunch of snake oil, like these, you know, palm readings and tarot readings, these freaking Jewish gypsies going around making a bunch of money doing that. Okay, so yes, the agrarian or cultivator blood type A people should eat plant-rich diets with no red meat. Type A diets should most resemble a vegetarian. Okay. Type B, the nomad. People with blood type B should eat plants and can eat meat, except chicken and pork, and some dairy. They should avoid wheat, corn, lentil, tomatoes, and a few other foods. Okay. Type AB, the enigma. This person is a mix between types A and B and should eat a diet rich in seafood, tofu, dairy, beans, and grains. However, they should exclude kidney beans, corn, beef, and chicken. Type O, the hunter. People with blood type O should eat high-protein diets. Oh, that's apparently me. Yeah, weird how when I was eating high-protein diets, I was sick. I was in the hospital every couple months. I was overweight, sluggish, had no energy, was depressed, felt like crap. Yeah, that's weird. And it's weird how when I stopped doing that, I felt way better. But, you know, this guy has got so much research to back this up, only there's none at all. Okay. So, yeah, I should eat poultry rich in meat, fish, some fruits and vegetables, but limit grains and dairy. Sound familiar, paleo people? I mean, already, like, if you guys are reading this and think, yeah, well, that sounds good, I mean, I think you're being foolish because this is just bullshit. Okay. These diets look generally healthy. What then is the problem? Well, I disagree with that, but this is this author. The problem is that there are hundreds of conflicting diet recommendations, and this is just one of them. So what does science have to say about this one? A robust, systematic review found no evidence to support the blood type diet, even though in the book, Dr. De Adamo says the diet is justified by scientific arguments derived from biology, physiology, immunology, and epidemiology. I guess if you want to just push some bullshit diet onto people, just use, you know, Aji words like, oh, biology, epidemiology, immunology. People will go, yes, that sounds so good. However, the author launches them simply as facts. not proving them with any scientific evidence, he is playing off people's ignorance of biology. The review in the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition in 2013 identified 1,415 articles that may be able to shed some light on the blood type diet, and they concluded the following. There is currently no evidence that an adherence to blood type diets will provide health benefits, despite the substantial presence and perseverance of blood type diets within the health industry. I think we read that quote in the last article as well. But in case you forgot, just to remind you, they found no evidence. None. Zero. The Norwegian Society that did the one-day seminar, yeah, we read about that. Dr. Di Aramo uses big words, but his description of blood type evolution is fundamentally wrong, making it difficult to believe any other scientific claims in his book. First, he claims that blood type O is the original blood type. However, other evidence shows that A was the first blood type to exist, and many agree that more studies are needed to grasp the evolution. Dr. Di Aramo also claims that blood type AB is approximately 1,000 years old, appearing somewhere between 500 BC and 900 AD. This claim is somewhat absurd. While he is correct that it is the youngest blood type, it first appeared about 260,000 years ago. But, you know, Dr. Di Aramo doesn't have to, you know, show proof or evidence for anything. He can just make it up because he's a doctor and he wrote a book that tells people to still eat poison food. But just limit it or eat more of that, eat more dairy. Yeah. None of those groups up there had a completely animal protein-free diet. The one that was, like, mostly vegetarian, what was that one? Type AB. You know, still eating seafood. Still eating dairy. You gotta avoid corn, though. Ooh, corn is so bad. You know what I heard from my mom recently? Because I don't really talk to my dad anymore. At all. But she told me that my dad cut out carrots from his diet because they're carbs. And, you know, he doesn't want to gain any more weight. It does my head in. That's why I can't really be around them because it's just like banging my head against a wall. Like, dude, you have diabetes, type 2, by the way, which can be controlled with diet. You are overweight. You are falling apart, you're aching, and you feel like shit, but you're cutting out carrots. Like, really? This is the insanity that's going on right now. We have people afraid of carrots, afraid of nightshades, which Miss Macro Exotic was pushing. Oh, yeah, nightshades are so bad. Oxalates. Oh, goitrogens. It's just so ridiculous. They're pathologizing plant eating, and they're trying to normalize eating, you know, raw flesh and drinking blood. Really nice. Oh, you know what's interesting, by the way? Miss Tabitha is now a primal princess. That's Amber shared that in the chat. It's her new like little online name. She's going by Miranda also. But interesting how quickly things change. You go from a predominantly plant-based diet now to primal. It looks like she's subscribed to Daphne's channel, to some other Jewish-looking guy that eats raw meat and drinks blood. So how quickly things change when you're a lying yenta. Yeah. God, I feel so foolish. Whatever. All right. So back to this again. So this is a new article. In 96, naturopathic physician, whatever that means, Peter Di Aramo, published his Eat Right for Your Type book, claiming that people with different blood types should eat differently. Okay. For example, a person with type B should be eating foods high in dairy, blah, blah, blah. We've been through this. Okay. And I love how they're given different titles like nomadic, hunter. I mean, this is retarded. Because you're born with a certain blood type, that means that you would live that lifestyle. It's idiotic. But of course, we've got a lot of idiots that will just eat this up. Okay, so it is an intriguing theory, but it's just that, a theory. As noted by doctors Elizabeth Whalen and Frederick J. Stair in their 1998 book, Fad-Free Nutrition. But in the last 17 years, there have been no scientific studies validating this theory. Indeed, last year, Dr. Leila Cusack from the Belgian Red Cross and colleagues reviewed over 1,400 articles from the scientific literature to see if they could find any that validated the theory that adherence to such a specific diet could improve health or decrease the risk of disease. Out of those articles, they found only one that came close, and it examined the effect of a different blood type grouping diet. More recently, Dr. Jingzhao Wang of the University of Toronto, good old Canadian name, and colleagues had over 1,400 participants, young adults between 20 and 29 years old, fill out a food frequency questionnaire for a month's worth of food intake. Now, I personally don't think questionnaires are reliable science, but, you know, it's interesting. Each person was assigned a diet that, according to the blood type theory, should have decreased their cardiometabolic risk factors. In their discussion, the authors noted, "Our findings show that adherence to certain blood type diets is associated with a favorable profile for certain cardiometabolic risk factors in young adults, but these associations were not related to an individual's ABO blood group." ACSH's Dr. Ruth Kava commented, "It's no surprise that there are no data supporting D'Adamo's theory of the blood type diet having a particularly beneficial effect. As the Canadian researchers found, when people adhered to a prudent diet, no matter what their blood type, they improved their cardiometabolic risk factors. Just one more diet theory debunked, and the only surprising thing here is that it took so long to happen." It's weird that this is still popular. Yeah, so... also, this whole oxalates thing is just absolutely ridiculous. They're trying to say that the reason people are getting kidney stones is because they're eating too much kale and spinach. Well, I can tell you, my dad had kidney stones growing up, and he ate a ton of meat and dairy and eggs and barely ate any vegetables, so that's weird how they were still able to form. And a lot of the people that I know now that are getting kidney stones eat a very heavy animal fat diet. Of course, that's anecdotal, but, I mean, we're living in such an insane world that, spinach is being demonized as something so unhealthy. Oh yeah, and water is bad for you too. Drink bacon fat like fattening, okay? All right, so I'm going to read a little bit from this. Just because vegetables contain oxalates doesn't mean they're necessarily going to increase kidney stone risk. If anything, the opposite may be true. It seems that decreasing animal protein and sodium intake is more effective in treating calcium oxalate and uric acid kidney stones than restricting calcium or oxalates. But what about preventing stones in the first place? Hmm? How about that? So what we can do is drink 10 to 12 cups of water a day and reduce animal protein, reduce salt, eat more vegetables and plant-based foods. Now, the carnivore crew would just say that, oh my God, you're going to die. Literally, they're saying that vegetables and water and fruit are killing people. This is just idiotic. It's absolutely retarded. Kidney stones are caused by a number of factors. Oxalates are naturally occurring compounds in many foods, vegetables in particular, that have the ability to bind to minerals like calcium and magnesium. Interesting, vitamin C breaks down to form oxalates, and large doses of vitamin C supplements is associated with greater kidney stone risk in men. So don't take vitamin C supplements. Get vitamin C from Whole Foods, because that is not going to be a problem. If someone already had kidney stone problems, they should really watch their intake of turmeric, apparently. Even though turmeric and cinnamon contain about the same amount of oxalates, 90% of oxalates in turmeric are soluble, readily absorbed, which is why those with kidney problems or prone to stone formation should limit turmeric to about 1 teaspoon per day. Cinnamon isn't a real concern oxalate-wise, but raises concerns about cumarin, I guess. And apparently there's different kinds of cinnamon. So there's Ceylon and then there's cassia. And apparently Ceylon is the one that you want to consume and not cassia. I believe cassia is from China, but it apparently can be damaging to the liver. I haven't really looked into this extensively. It might just be another one of those little myths that's being shared around that everyone just touts as fact, but something interesting to look into. The oxalates do bind up calcium in vegetables, though, so spinach and beet greens are therefore not good sources of calcium, though wonderful foods in their own right. Healthy sources of calcium include kale, broccoli, collards, beans, tofu, dried figs, fortified plant milks. I would say, try to get it from things that aren't synthetic, but, whatever. And even blackstrap molasses. Obviously, you want to, try to get organic blackstrap molasses if you can, because sugar, that's what the molasses is made from. It's a big GM crop. All right, one of the healthiest sweeteners you can use is blackstrap molasses, by the way. Calcium needs for adults 19 to 50 years old is 1,000 milligrams per day. Adults older than 50 need 1,200 milligrams of calcium per day, but calcium recommendations vary greatly by country. Apparently, it's something like 700 milligrams in the UK, so that's interesting how they change. Big discrepancy there. So, I question the government panels issuing these recommendations in the first place. But now I wanted to talk about this whole goitrogen thing, because that's another stupid claim that these people will make. Now, apparently a bunch of these ex-vegans, you know, they got kidney stones and they developed thyroid problems. Now, I'm not saying that this didn't happen, but I have to ask, like, how were they eating these vegetables? Were they putting, you know, a pound of kale in a smoothie and sucking it back every morning? I personally don't think that that's necessary or necessarily good for you. But if you're eating a serving size of cruciferous vegetables or kale raw or cooked, it doesn't seem to be an actual problem, and there's very little evidence that it is. A lot of it is just rumors that float around. Oh, they're goitrogenic. But have we seen any research that is showing that eating kale is giving people thyroid issues? I mean, most people, vegans, meat eaters, everybody, are deficient in iodine. Now, remember there was that whole, what was it called, like the goiter belt or something out in middle America where, you know, they don't have the sea air coming through and bringing iodine into their living environment. So a lot of them developed goiters. Now, is that because they ate a vegan diet? No, it's because they were deficient in iodine. And people like to say that, oh, vegans have to supplement all of this stuff. Well, why are all these people that are carnivores drinking protein powder and all of this if you get everything you need from your diet? I know plenty of people who eat a, you know, standard American diet who have to supplement things. You know, a lot of our food is denatured. Even the vegetables that I grow here in my garden, it's, you know, the soil isn't what it used to be. Although I've done a lot of work trying to get this soil to be good, which is not easy. It takes time. But that's just, unfortunately, the modern world that we're living in right now with a lot of the chemical fertilizers that are used. And I mean, we're living in a completely different world. So yeah, I supplement with magnesium. I spray it on every day. And I know many people who aren't vegan who have to do the same. Magnesium is amazing. It changed my life. Honestly, it really did. But yeah, I mean, I've looked around. I really can't find any research showing that these goitrogenic foods, you know, like spinach and kale and all of this are causing thyroid issues. If anybody has anything to show me, I'd be interested in it. I'm personally not one that does like the green juices and all of that. I used to like force myself to drink it because I thought it was healthy. I like a spinach apple carrot juice. I'll do that once in a while. But, you know, some people just think, well, if it's good for you, more of it equals good. But I think just, you know, eat proper serving sizes of these foods and you won't have to worry about goiters, or just supplement with iodine, whether you eat a vegan diet or not. Supplementing with iodine is also a game changer. But this other topic, lectins, right? This is another one that they use, especially the blood type diet people, or, you know, these anti-starch people, anti-wheat. They like to use lectins as, you know, the boogeyman. So let's read a little something here. Unfortunately, nutritional misinformation abounds, and the consumption of health-fortifying, nutrient-rich plant foods in our society is dangerously low. In fact, the CDC has stated that 75% of healthcare spending goes to treating chronic diseases, most of which are preventable and diet-related. That's appalling. One example of this misinformation is the recommendation by paleo diet advocates to avoid beans and grains. Yeah, I remember I fell for this. I was like, oh my God, they're going to kill me. The beans and grains. Also, a new book alleges that these foods plus nuts, tomatoes, eggplant, peppers, those are your nightshades, right? And more are harmful to our health because of mysterious proteins called lectins. Ooh. You know, I was wondering too, doesn't a nightshade mean that it does its growing at night? Maybe I just made that up. Let me double check. Okay, I guess they flower at night, which means I guess they would, you know, start growing at night. That's interesting because these plants are growing under the moonlight, which is a much different quality of light. So, you know, it'd be interesting to see the difference between non-nightshades and nightshades and their, I don't know, their quality. It's interesting to me. Like, why do these certain plants want to bloom at night? I guess they're evil though, because like the night is bad and, you know, lectins. You know, just lectins. That's all I got to say. Lectins, goitrogens, and oxalates. I sound smart now. I'm basically, I'm a nurse now, like Fatney. I just love when people use their shitty little credentials. You know, like I'm a registered nurse, or I'm a nutritionist, like Tabitha, to you know, to push their nonsense. I mean, I've got board certifications, but I'm not like, I'm this, so therefore I can say whatever I want. It's just, it's an appeal to authority, and they all do it. So the truth is, the scientific evidence does not support the view that lectins are harmful to our health. What is harmful to our health is promoting this idea, which has led to many people being afraid to eat health-promoting foods like beans and tomatoes. It is acceptable to have a theory, but this idea about lectins being disease-causing and that people need to avoid beans, vegetables, and nuts in order to get healthy and lose weight has been thoroughly disproven by the thousands of studies documenting the health and longevity benefits of these foods. The most recent book warning against lectins is full of twisted and incorrect information that will further confuse and harm the public, who are already eating an insufficient amount of plant foods. Gee, I wonder who could be behind this. I know Kelly Clarkson, who's just like obese, basically. She was, you know, touting this as some wonderful thing. And it's interesting because people like Fatney and others in that community will say, look, apple cider vinegar is bad for you. Look, Katy Perry was promoting it. This celebrity was promoting it. But I guess that doesn't matter when the celebrity is promoting your stupid death diet and that lectins are super evil. I mean, look at Kelly Clarkson. Go Google her. Clearly the pinnacle of health. Oh, yeah. She looks really, really healthy. Good thing she's not eating those evil tomatoes. Or like my dad. Ooh, good thing he's avoiding those carrots. Those carrots might kill him. But go ahead and have another cheeseburger. Yeah, that's good for you. It's just retarded. Okay, so what are these evil lectins? Lectins are proteins that bind carbohydrate. There are many different lectins, which have different functions because they bind to different carbohydrates. Lectins are not only present in plant foods, they're ubiquitous in nature, in plants, animals, and microorganisms. The main function of lectins in animals is to facilitate cell-cell contact. Lectins on one cell recognize and bind to surface carbohydrates on another cell. In plants, the function of lectins is less clear, but some lectins are thought to be a plant defense protein to protect against pathogens and insects. This is similar to other phytochemicals. Flavonoids, for example, also serve as a natural defense in plants. All right, so there's actually potential benefits of plant food lectins. Surprising, right? Those evil plants aren't actually trying to kill you, okay? Plant lectins bind carbohydrates during digestion, slowing or preventing their breakdown, and thereby reducing the glycemic effects of the food. You may hear a claim that lectins disrupt digestion, but this is misleading. This action of lectins is most likely a contributing factor to the pro-weight loss and anti-diabetes effects of beans and other plant foods. Beans are rich in anti-cancer phytochemicals and are the foods demonstrating the most powerful association with lower rates of breast cancer in massive epidemiological studies, including the Nurses' Health Study. Beans are just fantastic. They're super easy to grow. Super easy to grow. They're cheap, right? You obviously want to get high quality stuff when you can. They're cheap. You can buy them in bulk and buy them dry, and they're even cheaper. They're easy to store. You don't need refrigeration. They're fantastic. You can do so many things. Like, okay, the water from your chickpeas. Take that, strain it, whip it up. It's like an egg white. You can make meringue. You can make mousse. You can make really fluffy baked goods with that aquafaba. You can make whipped cream with it. Just add some sweetener. I mean, yeah, it's kind of weird. It took me a while to be like, okay, I'm eating bean juice right now, but it tastes freaking amazing. It's amazing what it does. You know, next time you make some chickpeas at home, whether you do it from a can or, you know, I'd recommend not the can if you can. But, yeah, try using that water that was left over. Put it in a blender, whip it up with a hand whipper, you know, whatever. It's fascinating. It's awesome stuff. And I mean, you can make so many different things out of beans. We make lentil loaves. We make taco filling. We do lentils with the taco seasoning. You can make lentil meatballs. There's so much. And lentil is definitely one of my favorite, but beans are fantastic. Even if you're making seitan, you can throw some extra beans in there for extra protein. Okay. All right. So let's get back to this. Where was I? A lectin in common mushrooms has been found to inhibit proliferation of cancer cells in vitro, Mushrooms are another food offering powerful protection against cancer, and that's not the only one. Similar results have been found for lectins from fava beans, soybeans, bananas, buckwheat, jackfruit, and wheat. Jackfruit, by the way, is amazing. You can get a huge, giant jackfruit and, you know, basically butcher it. I call it butchering because you really have to, like, cut it up and get all the meat out. But if you buy one of those big jackfruits, that's a huge investment because you go home, you butcher it, you get all that meat out, you freeze it. You can make jackfruit, you know, pulled pork kind of texture, jackfruit tacos. There's so many different things you can do with jackfruit. It's amazing. I love it. It's definitely on my list of things I want to grow. I literally have 15 papaya trees right now. So maybe we're going to make some papaya jam because they grow super fast if you're in an area where you can grow papaya. And somebody was just getting rid of a bunch of seedlings and I said, I'll take them. And so now I have about 15 papaya trees all over our property, which is awesome. It's awesome. Okay. So here we go back to this. Some of these lectins are being investigated as potential cancer therapies. Certain plant food lectins may also help prevent cancer development by blocking the actions of angiogenesis promoting lectins on human cells. Do lectins pose any dangers? There's one lectin known to cause temporary GI distress in humans. However, it is easily avoided. A lectin called phytophthemagglutinin, found in raw beans, red kidney beans in particular, binds to a carbohydrate present on human intestinal cells. This lectin is inactivated by cooking. So, I mean, who the hell eats kidney beans raw anyways? I feel like that would cause anybody GI distress. If you use dry beans, take the necessary precaution of making sure they are thoroughly soaked. Don't eat undercooked beans. I mean, yeah, because they just don't even taste good. So who would do that? You can even sprout your beans. I used to do that, but it's a pain in the ass. It takes a lot of work. But what I would do is I would sprout, you know, whatever beans I was using in my soup. You sprout them like you would anything else, you know, keep them in a jar, moist in the dark. And then after they've sprouted, you can then throw them in the soup. Some people argue that that's even better, but like I said, it's just a pain. It's just a pain to do. But I tried it. All right, special cases of sensitivity to certain lectins. Some food allergies are allergies to a lectin specific to that food. And, you know, we need to question, why do people have all these food allergies all of a sudden? Like, I personally found out that I have a sensitivity to yeast because I was, you know, I had like a skin issue my whole life. I would get these little flare-ups here and there. And I cut out yeast. I still eat bread. I just do it with baking soda. And it seems to have gone away. So I'm thinking, okay, that's probably it. But what is used in vaccines? Yeast. Peanut oil. And now we're seeing people allergic to these things. You know, no one ever really questions that. They don't bring that into the equation. It's just, oh, that yeast that you're allergic to is because plant foods are evil and you shouldn't eat bread. And that's why. You need to eat more meat. No, that's not it. It's because a lot of us were made allergic on purpose. Okay. So some of the allergies can be to a specific lectin. Also bacterial infections, IBS, which is, or IBD, inflammatory bowel disease, colon cancer, or autoimmune illnesses may alter intestinal cells in a way that makes usually harmless food lectins problematic. Yeah, absolutely. Again, why is that never brought up? It's just, nope, the plant made you feel not good. It's evil. It's trying to kill you. Go kill that cow over there and torture it and drink its blood. That's way more logical, okay? For example, wheat may be problematic for rheumatoid arthritis and peanuts for IBD and colon cancer. However, carbohydrates from dietary fiber could potentially block or reduce these harms. Or just getting your gut flora back in check, you know, building up the correct amount of bacteria that you need to break down these foods. And a lot of that is from the overuse of antibiotics. Okay. It is likely there are individuals who should avoid a specific food because of their individual response to a lectin in that food, but this does not mean that lectins are harmful for the general population. In fact, foods having more lectins are longevity promoting. Keep eating beans and tomatoes. They have huge benefits. People who regularly eat beans have greater intakes of minerals and fiber. They have lower blood pressure and are less likely to be overweight than people that don't consume beans. The consumption of beans is linked to lifespan enhancement, lower rates of cardiovascular disease, lower risk of colorectal, and several other cancers. Beans are high in fiber, high resistant starch, low glycemic source of calories. The high total and soluble fiber content of beans helps to lower cholesterol and blood pressure. Fiber and resistant starch fuel the growth of a healthy gut microbiome, which likely underlies beans' ability to protect against colorectal cancers. Tomatoes are the major source of the carotenoid lycopene, a strong antioxidant that helps protect the skin from UV damage. In addition, tomatoes have a number of cardiovascular system benefits, including making LDL cholesterol more resistant to oxidation. Higher blood lycopene is associated with a lower risk of heart attack and stroke, and low blood lycopene are associated with a greater risk of premature death. Beans, vegetables, mushrooms, nuts, and seeds are high-nutrient, fiber-rich foods that are consistently associated with beneficial health outcomes and a longer life. This suggests that if there is any potential negative of certain plant lectins, it is enormously outweighed by the benefits of the fiber and phytochemicals in these plant foods. You know, maybe I'll just do a quick little thing on this because I wanted to get into this whole idea of cleansing, right? I used to think that it was probably a good idea that, you know, we all need to cleanse once in a while. But when you eat the proper foods that you're designed to eat, you don't need to cleanse. And this whole cleansing industry appears to be just crazy, just absolutely crazy. Actually, the Master Cleanse was started by one of the people involved in the Heaven's Gate cult. Or wait, maybe I was wrong about that. Maybe, I mean, they did the Master Cleanse, but it says it was invented by Stanley Burroughs. So let me see. I might have been incorrect there. Sorry. But they definitely did this Master Cleanse, you know, this group. Okay, so I guess they did this Master Cleanse for like 3 months. So I think it's like a juice fast or something. But okay. This is crazy. There's even apparently a cotton ball diet. I mean, is this a joke? The cotton ball diet is a fad diet that involves consuming cotton balls dipped in liquids such as juices or smoothies. The cotton is intended to make the person's stomach feel full without gaining weight. That's called an eating disorder. That's what that's called. Oh my God. Or you could just eat a potato and freaking be full and have actual nutrition in your body and not eat cotton balls. But, you know, that's just too crazy, I guess. You know, another one of these people, this Monica lady who seems to be working with Tabitha, or they're at least, I don't know. I don't even know. They're related somehow. They follow each other and they talk to each other and all this. But this Monica lady was one that was, oh, I'm vegan. Oh, she would message Kyle. And, oh, did you see that Asaheim is now eating steak? How disgusting. Then, you know, a couple weeks later, she comes into the comment section at Renegade Tribune telling people to eat bone broth and drink butter and all that shit. And got super mad that we wouldn't let her promote that stuff. She looks like a Jewess, by the way. I've looked her up on Facebook, and she's like a grown woman making champagne dresses. It's just pathetic. Hashtag pathetic. But she was pushing this whole mucoid plaque cleanse. Now, look, if you're eating what you're saying we should eat now, butter, dairy, dead flesh, yeah, you might need to do a mucoid plaque cleanse. But a lot of this just seems like bullshit. Like, you know, Tabitha's promotion of sticking coffee up your butt because you need to do colonics and you need to do enemas. And it sounds like an eating disorder. It sounds crazy to me. So I'm sure you guys remember this years back, these ionic foot baths that everybody was into. They were, you know, soaking their feet in these ions and then, oh, the water would turn brown and that's all the toxins coming out of your body. I mean, I thought it was cool. I never got it done, but I was like, wow, that's amazing. I want to detox. I want to cleanse. The detox industry is possibly one of the worst industries in the world. This guy was once in Ecuador and everybody was doing these ionic foot baths, right? That was allegedly sucking toxins out. You know, you have all these toxins in you. Well, a Harvard article mentions that black water is just from corroding electrodes. And you just paid for a lot of money to watch that happen. And a lot of these, you know, detox things are cleansing products. Oh, geez, sorry. That people are selling, you know, some of them contain illegal, potentially harmful ingredients, but they were marketed using false claims that they could treat serious diseases. And of course, you know, there have been no randomized controlled trials to assess the effectiveness of these cleanses. You know, there might be something to, I don't know, abstaining from something if it's not making you feel good. But I just think this whole idea that we need to cleanse and detox is retarded. If we support our liver, it's going to do that for us. You know, just eat healthy foods so you don't need to cleanse of anything. So some people will say, you know, why don't you just do a juice fast? That's more of a gentle cleanse, but let's just look at how the liver works. So our liver gets rid of these toxins by dumping them into the small intestine. And then, you know, it binds to the fiber and you excrete it, it leaves your body. So now a juice cleanse doesn't really have fiber. You know, you're not going to have that fiber that the toxins can bind to then leave your body. So it seems counterintuitive that you would go on like a fiberless diet in order to cleanse because you're not even assisting your liver in that process. Apparently the same thing happens with hormones. So they bind to the fiber and then, you know, are excreted. But again, if you're doing a juice fast, there's no fiber there to do that. So, you know, some people will say, oh, well, I have detox acne because I'm detoxing everything. But it's probably just a buildup of hormones that aren't able to leave your body because there's no fiber to bind to. So then some people will say, oh, well, why don't I just do a liver cleanse then? I should just do that. So yeah, there are people out there that, you know, they've done liver cleanses and they swear that they were excreting liver stones. And I've even talked to some crazy people in the past who were doing all these cleanses and they're like, look what came out of my body. This is crazy. I'm cleansing. Or I'm having a cleansing crisis because they feel like shit and they're like vomiting and they feel terrible. Oh, it's just all the toxins leaving my body, guys. I'm not just making myself sick. So there's this Lancet article that actually looked at the composition of the stones, you know, that were passed from this liver cleanse. And this cleanse, this is retarded, okay? They were saying that to drink olive oil and acid, particularly lemon juice. These things combined in the body, it actually formed soap stones. So he's just pooping out soap. Now, something that I haven't really looked into, you know, extensively are these biofilms that are out there. And I'm not going to get to that tonight because I've got to go. And you can hear the blender going. I think Kyle's making cauliflower Alfredo sauce. I don't know. There's something to that. I had done that whole miracle mineral thing, which I'm still on the fence about. I'm like, I don't know. I've used it on my cat before. It seemed to help, but, you know, I don't really know. But apparently, you know, doing these MMS cleanses or, you know, having people pass these biofilms and stuff, I don't really know. It might just be some more bullshit, like this whole cleansing industry. So yeah, that's pretty much it for tonight's show. Wanted to let everybody know that I do have a 30-minute high-intensity interval workout video available for digital download at heathenherbs.com. It's $5 for the download. I appreciate anybody that helps me out by purchasing the download. I will offer some more classes in the future. And like I said, I'm open to doing meal plans. One of you got in touch with me about that. I did email you back, but I don't know if you got it, so I might email it again. But yeah, I'm interested in helping you guys out if I can, or, you know, whatever you can agree to compensate me for my time. We can make it work. I'm not trying to fleece you all, but, you know, if I'm going to set aside the time, I just have to justify it somehow. So yeah, if you're looking for like exercise plans or meal plans, personal training, whatever, I'm down to help you. Now it is going to be plant-based because in my estimation, that is the healthiest lifestyle to engage in. So if you're interested in that, hit me up at heathenherbs@gmail.com. And thank you everybody for listening. Make sure to eat your fruits and veggies and stop engaging in torturing animals. All right. Good night, everybody.
happen when